Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We hear everything. Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. I'll tell you what we won't do today. We will not involve ourselves. And he said, she said, we will not get involved, Mike.
Right.
And have this demeanor about the show, wondering what somebody else is thinking about you, me, or this program, or this radio station. We will not stoop to that level.
I said what I said. If I'm living rent-free in some radio host's head who wants to go, right on, Chipper, knock yourself out. But again, we're moving on. As we said, we got bigger fish to fry. And again, you can get on social media if you're behind the scenes, or behind, I should say, the last few days, what has been going down. But yeah, I mean, as I said today on our pre-show, and check that out at Twitch and YouTube, made some comments about Snickers' legacy, invoked Bobby Cox, and I thought it was a reasonable take. I thought it was an unreasonable response by Chipper, and that's all I got to say.
Won't stoop there. Won't go there. But I will tell you that one of our listeners did tweet at us and say that he was recently blocked by one Chipper Jones for defending your comments.
Hey, look, we invited him on the show. That's all you can do. Been big fan of Chipper. I mean, like, I know that's his guy, and I understand the relationship between a manager and a player, but yeah, man, I just thought he went too far on this, and if he wants to keep on going, knock yourself out. There you go. Leave it at that.
I'll tell you what I am excited about. We talked about this yesterday, and after discussing it with a couple of people this week, including Connor Riley and then Mike Griffith yesterday, we had on Barbara Dooley. She was amazing. Make sure you check that out at Odyssey.com. Mike, the Dogs are now a 19.5-point favorite against Kentucky. And the reason
why the sharps just feel now the money is obviously come down on Kentucky side
correct.
To get the number down
correct
because people have seen Georgia has not covered all season long.
Yes, and look, I think part of this is you know this thing about Kentucky playing Georgia hard and well every year
noon game
the early game there that you know can Georgia do some of the things we've talked about. I'm simply excited because I had this argument with Day-Day this morning and it wasn't necessarily an argument. It was just me going, it's not going to happen, Day-Day, and that is. This slow start for Georgia is not going to happen on Saturday. Look, if it does, there is something wrong that the message is not getting through, whatever that message is, whether it's from Kirby or Mike Bobo. They have to get off fast. And the things that Georgia does well, Kentucky does not defend necessarily well. Mike, this is going to be, take my word for it, an offensive explosion for the Dogs. This 19.5 this weekend, all right? It does. It sounds like a big number. It's just not. Kentucky doesn't score. And the reason why I'm excited is because I think this is going to get people back in the good graces of after what happened last week. All right. It came down to one play call. It really did. It's not like Georgia got out. Okay. In the first half, they got outplayed. But it wasn't like Georgia just got their butts beat. This came down to one decision, one play. If they make it, we're not even talking about what we've been talking about all week. They didn't make it. This is still a really good football team, and I think, Mike, they'll be motivated to go out and show it tomorrow.
Right. Now, certainly the noon game, you know, I know that I don't think you look at Kentucky and say, well, that's a team that can get up 14-0 on Georgia. I don't think they can get up 14-0 on Georgia, not in this version of the Wildcats. But as you said, the physicality is the calling card of Stoops' team. Stoops, I mean, I don't know what his future is. Sounds like he's dead man walking up there, up in Lexington. But to play competitive with Georgia, would that change any minds up there?
They did that last year at home.
There's no moral victories at this stage.
And they didn't win.
But, I mean, here's the thing, though. And, I mean, just to play devil's advocate, I like Stoops. Always liked, you know, his game. It was a great defensive coordinator for Jimbo back in the day. Matter of fact, he left before the national championship season in 13, got the Kentucky job. How good is it supposed to be in Kentucky? You know, that I know it's all relative. With NIL, if people will put the same money that, you know, as you said, if Arkansas could get some people to put money in the basketball program to put it in the football program, then the same, I think you could argue for Kentucky football, or is it people just never going to have the same level of passion for it?
Well, look, I think if you win in anything, people care. But I also think, Mike, it's just kind of run its course. We mentioned the second longest tenured coach in the SEC, and I agree with you. I think there are some intangible things that he brings. The problem is when you go year after year after year and you're doing the same things over and over, and it gets tired. And you become complacent as a fan to say, well, what are the expectations? There are no expectations. You say, we'll win 5 or 6 games a year. That's not being a contender in the SEC. And now in this day and age, Mike, where everybody allegedly is playing on an equal playing field, hey, you got $20 million to spend. How you spend it is your business. Good luck. Well, then what's going on? And I said this to you guys yesterday on our pre show. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, what we're realizing now in college, especially right now, and this is the early stuff. I mean, it's going to continue to evolve. But coaching is really mattering now because of the playing field. And, Mike, you don't have all the 5 stars, and I don't have all the 5 stars. I got to be able to coach these guys up, and I think we're seeing more of that. The problem with Stoops, and I'm just getting back to Kentucky, is I don't think he does enough of that. Good defensive mind, but he doesn't do enough of that.
Well, I mean, then maybe give him some money to go get a better offensive coach. Because, again, when you get 2 10-win seasons at Kentucky, I mean, the only other guy you can compare it to is a former Falcons assistant, Rich Brooks, who left here to go up there, left Dan Reeves, and then went to Kentucky and actually won 8 games twice. I know it's all relative, but you got to go back to, like, Bear Bryant to find an 11-win season. So I just think the expectations, I mean, I'm kind of defending Stoops. I just think you got to give him one more shot. But he's, you know, after coming off a 4-8 and 2-7.
He's got to go. He's got
to
go.
I just don't know what you expect to get. It's kind of like the old Georgia Tech argument. You know, is, you know, winning 10 games every 5 years as good as it gets?
Okay.
With Paul Johnson, or do you deserve and should expect more?
That's a great example. But how do you feel now about Georgia Tech?
Get the right guy. Get the now NIL. Look, if you had NIL and transfer portal, Paul Johnson would have had nobody, because nobody who wanted to go to the pros was going to play in that offense.
Would have gone.
Now you could say, well, he always would have maximized the 3 stars. Well, okay, good luck with that. But I mean, nobody would have gone there.
No, I agree. Look, Mike's point is valid, because for Tech fans, I ask you again, how do you feel now? You feel like you're moving in the right direction because your coach has shown you in some big moments. And even last week, guys, that comeback, they showed a lot of grit. And at halftime, he said he didn't yell, he didn't fuss, he didn't cuss. He just said, look, we're not playing well. You guys know where you're at. And they came out and won the game. Mike, that is the difference. You have to have a coach that instills that kind of confidence in your fan base that you go, hey, you know what? We're not quite there yet, but man, right, this feels like we're moving in the right direction. For Tech right now, that is how you feel. Kentucky is on the hamster wheel. They're just going on the wheel year in and year out, and that's why they are where they are. That is why the Dogs are a 19.5-point favorite. Day-Day, I think this opened up at 20.5. I think the Dogs show up for business tomorrow. And again, here's another thing. They're going to be without Ernest Green. This is, again, their offensive tackle. They're tied in. Ethan Barber is going to be out. But that doesn't matter. They didn't, you know, Green didn't play last week. They were still able to move the football. Green is arguably one of, if not their best offensive lineman. But the Zach Calzada situation, that's the issue. Shoulder injury, Mike, in the loss to Ole Miss. And if you're talking about not having a quarterback to throw the football down the field, you're not scaring Georgia. Ty Simpson was able to do what he did last week because of those damn wide receivers.
Right.
And you had to defend that. Kentucky doesn't have that.
So we'll see about that one. We'll also go through the other big matchups in the college game, because obviously Florida State and Miami is huge. If Florida State loses, you could argue they're probably out of the playoff. Although, who knows? Long way to go. You play them close and run the table? I don't know.
What happens there, though, if they do? I mean, how much leeway does Napier have?
Well, that's just it. Florida Gators lose to Texas, and the Texas number is insane.
It's disgusting.
Florida is getting a lot of love from Vegas because nobody trusts Arch Manning.
Watch your mouth.
I'm just telling it like it is, man. Nobody trusts Arch Manning. I don't trust. Do you trust Arch Manning? On the road. Now, I mean, look, for all the things that Florida's been and hasn't been this season, the undisciplined play, the dumb penalties, the inconsistency with Lagway, you're still going to the swamp, and they still got some bros who can knock them around on defense. That's why I think that's why there's been the sharps are on Florida, because they just don't trust Arch Manning.
He's fixed.
Not necessarily to lose, but not to cover.
He's, look, He had mechanical issues. There's no debating that. He's fixed. He's going to be fine tomorrow.
You took him to the vet?
He's going
to
be fine, okay? I do think you're right, and that is why this is low. This should be, I'm going to, guys, this should be like a 14-point spread. It really should be. Problem is Texas has played at home 3 weeks in a row after the Ohio State game. This is their first or their second real road test.
Right.
And Arch is first in the SEC. So
then there's got to be something to be said for that. I mean, we saw how Gunnar Stockton responded. But, I mean, but the games – now, granted, he was in at times in those playoff games, but Gunnar Stockton had a little bit more experience with the bright lights. We'll see. Clemson goes to North Carolina. We'll get into that because a lot of us talk about this one preseason, and now, like, who gives a flip? Clemson, by the way, is a two-touchdown favorite against Belichick. Why should Clemson, the way they look, be a two-touchdown favorite against anybody on the road?
Because that's how bad North Carolina is.
That's true.
Nobody thinks North Carolina – matter of fact, here's the reality of where North Carolina is. And this is why this was all hype and hyperbole when it came to Belichick. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, that roster has zero NFL talent on it. Zero. So how can you be Bill Belichick, hire all these NFL guys, hire all the general manager around you, and not have the wherewithal to go get guys in the portal that you feel like are NFL caliber to raise the level of play? North Carolina is not only being not coached well, they don't have the kind of talent that Clemson has. And that's why I think this number is what it is.
Well, I mean, again, his son is, I mean, the nepotism with, you know, with Mullet Boy as defensive coordinator. You just talked about it. And I think if you're in North Carolina, you really expect Bill Belichick to stick around for 3 years? So you're just going to throw away the first year? Because it was a transition. Everyone, to Carl's point, they were going to come in and run it like a pro team, dive into the portal with a lot of resources. They came up snake eyes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is Dukes and Bell. More on college football. Our official picks coming up. By the way, Day-Day, O gave you his picks. We're good, right? He's not out. He's out today. He gave you your picks?
He said he was contemplating actually calling us at the time. Okay. So I'll text him just to make sure. Because I think he thinks there could be some funny business. But he's got to understand that note is still on Squid Billy's door.
This is true.
So we need everyone to hold their weight.
Yes.
We need Carl. It's got to start with you. All starts with you.
Why are y'all looking
at
me?
You are the leader.
Okay, the official picks are on the way.
And like the TV show, I hate to say it right now.
What?
It can change, but you are the weakest link.
Let's talk to B-Mac. Brian McFadden joining us, CBS NFL analyst. B-Mac, we got a quarterback controversy in 49er land, man. I don't care what anybody says. Mac Jones, who? Mac Jones is balling right now, and I think that he's done enough for them to at least acknowledge that he should have an opportunity to play. Come on. Come on, B.
Now, I know you lying.
Come on, B.
No, you don't actually believe that. You just want to get me fired up on this Good Friday.
Just because
no
a
reason.
Guy's making $50 million, they overpaid him. Mac Jones can do exactly what Purdy does.
Okay, if that's the case, why is this Mac Jones' third team that he's been on since being in the NFL?
Coaching, B! Coaching! You and I both know this!
So we're just going to forget about everything that Brock Purdy has done since becoming the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And, oh, by the way, let's not forget, he was never supposed to be the guy. He outplayed the other two players that was there before him, and he actually saved Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch from being in that hot seat conversation. So we're just going to forget all about that.
What's he won?
I mean, he's won more games than half of the starting quarterbacks in the National Football League in the time that he's been in the professional league in the NFL. Is that not fair? Is that not a strong case for him to remain the starting quarterback? We're talking about Mac Jones, right?
Mac Jones.
I mean, Mac Jones, deserving of the praise. He's done a really, really good job in the three stars. And outside of the Rams, who they beat last night, who were the other teams they beat with Mac Jones?
Saints.
Huh?
Saints,
and who else?
I don't know, but all I know is he played well.
You just don't like – I don't know why you don't like this guy. He's never liked Brock Purdy. You've never liked him.
I don't like him.
Mr. Irrelevant from – I don't know what he's always had a mean on. Meanwhile, B-Mac, last night, what did you make of – I like Sean McVay's balls to go for the win. I mean, the fumble at the goal line before the end of regulation obviously screwed things up. But what about the play call? He owned it. Said it was a horrible play call.
Yes, it was. When you look at Sean McVay for his standards – and being a play caller in the National Football League, at that point, the offense was rolling, especially with Matthew Stafford having the football in his hand, and you're going to condense the formation, and you basically told everyone what you were doing based on the alignment of the formation. Under center, condensed formation, back, neutral behind the quarterback. You told everyone you were handing the football. Because one thing we know about the Rams, they rarely do a quarterback sneak with Matthew Stafford in terms of his health. They try to protect him as much as possible. So anytime he gets under the center, you know exactly what he's going to do. It's fourth and one. It's not fourth and an inch. We all knew he was handing the football off, and it was predictable, and the 49ers played the play.
Did you see the dimes he was dropping last night? Mac Jones. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking with Brian McFadden here. All right, Falcons are off this week. Let's talk about some of these other games and how this may play out. The quarterback change in Cleveland, is it going to help, or they are going to continue to be bad with Dylan Gabriel?
They're going to continue to be bad with whoever it is at the quarterback position. Let's keep it real, guys. I mean, offensively, they lack talent. Mm-hmm. They lack talent in terms of some of the teams they will play against. And I felt like regardless who the quarterback would be for Cleveland, this would be a rebuild type of situation for the Cleveland Browns. So will Dylan Gabriel provide a sense of juice at that position? Yeah, potentially. He's more athletic than Joe Flacco. He's younger than Joe Flacco. In terms of his potential, he has more than Joe Flacco. So, yeah, he should provide a sense of a spark. But will it be enough to turn their entire season around? No. Mm. No. So, you know, for Dylan Gabriel, you want to show this organization that you can be not just a piece to the puzzle in terms of building a solid foundation moving forward, but you want to show them that, yeah, I could be a starting quarterback for this franchise for years to come.
Talking with the BMAC guys, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Steelers, a proud Seminole here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Said to Carl earlier, this is about as bad as the Ravens have looked since Lamar Jackson became the starter up there. And now it looks like it's going to be Cooper Rush. They got a bunch of injuries. They get Linderbaum back. They got a couple guys. Van Noy is coming back. But they've been banged up. And on the flip side, you know, C.J. Stroud was everybody's darling, and he's been really kind of just meh last year and into this year. But kind of a do-or-die game, it feels like, for Baltimore this early in the season.
Oh, it is. You cannot afford to be 1-4 with any expectations to make the playoffs. And to your point, you will be without Lamar Jackson, but this is still a winnable ball game without Lamar Jackson because of what you mentioned. C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, their offensive line has been atrocious. And that's being generous in terms of my words. They've been bad. And if the Tennessee Titans offense wasn't worse last week, they probably would have lost that ball game to Tennessee. So if you're Coach Harbaugh, you got to coach ball now. You have to coach the game, and you have to get more from your defense. That has been the most disappointing thing associated with the Baltimore Ravens in the first quarter of the season is how bad their defense has been. Because they're 1-3. But look at Lamar Jackson's numbers. I mean, man, he has the most passing touchdowns in the National Football League and only one win to show for it. Mm. I think I saw a stat. I don't know how accurate this is, but someone can kind of stat check me real quick. I think he has like 10 touchdowns and one interception. Mm. Like, that should be winning football.
Yeah.
But because of how bad their defense has been and just the ball rolling in the wrong favor for them. They're 1-3 with a very, very important game coming up without their star quarterback.
B, we play the Buffalo Bills, as in we is in the Falcons, on October 13th. It's a Monday night game. This is the bye week. And so Buffalo gets a chance to go play the Patriots. And I think everybody just feels like this is going to be an easy win and Buffalo will roll in here 5-0. And they might. But I don't know if that's going to be an easy game. Tell me what you're seeing with the Patriots, man, because I feel like that team has shown improvement already, and it's his first year, Mike Vrabel's first year there.
Well, let's keep it real. Coach Vrabel is a heck of a coach. He can coach some football. That's number one. Number two, they're a team, when you look at them, what, having two losses, they could easily be in a position where they could be undefeated. You look at week one against the Raiders. You know, that was an unexpected loss. You look at how they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, only losing by a possession, but having five turnovers, that could have easily went in their favor. So now you look at Drake May, you look at the entire defense, and now we're starting to see the passing game kind of emerge, led by Stephon Diggs. This is a team that could easily be undefeated. So to your point, this is why I love divisional matchups in the NFL. They're like collegiate rivalries. Mm. You gotta throw records and resumes out of the window because anything can happen. It's similar to what we saw with Buffalo weeks ago when they played Miami, right? Everyone thought Buffalo would easily blow out Miami, cover the spread, and guess what? Miami made it a four-quarter ball game. They did more with less. That is usually the case when you talk about divisional matchups. So I expect Buffalo to win. But all I'm saying is don't be surprised if this could be a four-quarter ball game until the very end.
It is kind of a funky weekend with a lot of cross-divisional, cross-conference games. You got Cowboys taking on the Jets. And then you got the Eagles hosting Denver. The A.J. Brown thing, as Brian McFadden joins us. Like, you know, we get on wide receivers for being divas, but I got to be honest, his usage rate is so low. I got his back. You know, if he wants to go read a novel, you know, on the sideline, or maybe even while he's, you know, lined up out wide out, because they ain't going to throw it to him. I mean, you got a great machine running offensively. They went through the same soap opera last year. So how do they placate him? How does it work in Philly?
I mean, the thing about the Eagles, they have problems that every other organization in the NFL would love to have. The passing game has been missing. Your top wide receiver hasn't been involved. Your star running back hasn't really showed the superstar status. And you're still undefeated. Carl, Mike, think about that. We talk about the Philadelphia Eagles as if they're 0-4 and not 4-0 through all the drama that has been associated with the field production. They're undefeated. It's going to take time, and I'm okay with that. And I think they have to be patient. And the thing about Jalen Hurts, the thing that I love about Jalen Hurts, he don't care how they win as long as they win.
Yeah, yeah.
I really appreciate that. And that minimizes distractions because you will get distractions from someone, from some positional area on the team. But as long as your quarterback can care less, as long as the end of the game we have more points than the opposing team, that's all that matters. And that's why they've been able to go through all of this, I guess, unexpected adversity, because they're not winning in the fashion in which we want to see them win, and yet and still they're still undefeated.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And you know, I don't think any. B, do you think anybody goes undefeated? I do not feel that way. I think everybody's going to have a couple of losses when it's all said and done.
Oh yeah, no question. I don't think anything is going to happen similar to the 72 Miami Dolphins. But currently, right now, for the Eagles being undefeated, you know, I still believe they're the best team in the NFC. And until I see otherwise, I'm not changing my thought. But we're talking about why they can't run the ball and throw the ball the way we thought they should be able to, but they're still winning ball games. That tells you how good they are.
All right, let's shift gears real quick and talk about what Mike and you are concerned about, and that's Florida State-Miami. Miami's looked excellent. There's no debating it. We had David Pollack on the show last week talking dogs, and he was like, look, you're not watching Miami up front. How do you feel about this matchup this weekend?
Man, rivalries, man. You know how it goes in college football. For me, it was one of the disappointing outings last week was Florida State losing to Virginia in the way they lost to Virginia. But you guys remember a few weeks ago I said Virginia was always my most important ball game because of the first ACC matchup on a weird night on the road, and it's the week before Miami. So now if you look at Miami, it's almost like the same situation Florida State had going on last week. This is the first time Miami's on the road, and this is the first time they played against an ACC foe, which is their rival. So for Florida State, if you don't go into this ball game highly motivated, you're playing the wrong sport.
Because if you have any playoff aspirations, you have to win tomorrow night against Miami. And for Miami, continue to prove all the voters right that you're one of the best teams in college football. And we get a chance to see, you know, your former dog, Carson Beck, up close and personal. You know, this will be a really good test for Carson Beck because Florida State defense was horrible last week. So you know the attention to detail will be emphasized, and they're going to play physical football. My question for Florida State, will they be able to stop the run? They couldn't stop the run last Friday night against Virginia.
Couldn't tackle.
Miami, with that offensive front, they're going to lean on the running game. Can you get the stops that you need?
And then on the flip side, B, just to wrap it up, I just, the first time I've seen Gus Malzahn and Castellanos not really able to handle the blitz the way Virginia came at them at the end of the game.
Yeah, and the thing about that, they had some issues handling the blitz, but they still scored 38 points. Mm. Like, that's winning football.
Right.
That should be enough for you to win. We saw untimely turnovers in the beginning of the ball game, but the offense found their rhythm. The defense just couldn't get the necessary stops they needed to for them to be able to win that ball game. But I expect to see it's going to be an entertaining game. Entertaining game in Tallahassee, man, so make sure you get your popcorn.
No doubt. B-Mac, appreciate you stopping by as always. Looking forward to a great weekend. Where are you at this weekend, by the way?
Well, right now I'm in Tallahassee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'll text you tomorrow. We'll see you over there.
Yes, sir.
All right, my man.
Yes, sir.
Take care, B.
I'm in Tallahassee working, but is it really work when you just watch football all day?
No,
B's a blast. I think probably he doesn't drink, Carl, so it takes a lot of pages out of my playbook.
No, it's beautiful. Yeah, he doesn't get it in, but he has fun down there. B, thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
All right, man. By the way, Florida State, if you're wondering, I think maybe we mentioned this, 4.5-point dog at home against Miami. We'll
Over-under's up now, 54.5.
Scoring points?
Yeah.
Scoring points. All right, we're going to get to our official picks. When we come back, though, you may not know who's interested in managing our Braves. And he said it would be amazing. We're going to tell you who it is when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. This is what I'm going to be saying when I come back. Don't call it a comeback. It's Friday.
We're bringing the heat with the picks.
Now, absolutely.
And again,
absolutely.
I don't want to put your record out there, 3-12.
It's
but
not
it
important.
Is,
it's
it
not
is,
important.
You know, we do three picks each week, 5 weeks in. 5 weeks in. Carl is the Phoenix, which we presume will rise from the
we'll
ashes.
Rise. I will rise.
Because Squid Billy is talking a lot of ish from the morning show.
Is about, he?
I don't know what his record is or how proficient he's been with the picks.
Is he using the service too?
Again, I don't think he needs a service. You've got to.
No, I'm talking about Squid.
You've got to bear down on this, as they say at Arizona.
I'm not worried about me. I'm going to be fine. You guys are blowing this out of proportion. By the way, O said he's going to call in for the picks, so he might have some secret sauce there as well for the picks. But, yeah, we're going to do that in the 4 o'clock hour. Coming up, Steve Coonan a little bit later on. Also, if you miss Brian Snicker today on the Steakhouse, great stuff. And Sandra at Steak, tremendous job and talking with the skipper. And, Mike, you know, you just, like you said, how can you not like Snit, man? I mean, like, yeah, we're disappointed. This season was a mess. But when you talk about, like, just the makeup of the man. Like, how can you not like Snitch?
Well, again, it's the same conversation we had yesterday talking about, you know, the similarities to Bobby Cox and why the players love playing for this guy and the job that he did, as I maintained yesterday, with less resources. And now, you know, be curious to see where they go. I was just talking to a Braves fan on Twitter, and follow us. We don't say X. Carl's, put him up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Braves, by the way, right now, are like the third highest payroll for 2026.
Escalate.
As all those contracts escalate. So, needless to say, there will be some fat will be trimmed, and that will be adjusted. I don't think it's going to look like that by the time they break camp in Northport, but that's the thing. You know, you still got to get more pitching, all the things, whoever that manager is going to be. But as you said, Snicker had so many great things to say, and where his head was at, how difficult it was to get to this point because how much he enjoys it. But, yeah, and the legacy and all the great memories, you'll hear that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.
Hey, reminder, guys, we are your home for college football here in Atlanta starting on Saturday, 8 a.m. We get the day started right with college football game time. It's brought to you by Window Nation, windownation.com, and Alumni Hall. You can shop all your favorite schools there. It's where fans shop. Freaky, go forth. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman set things off. And then we got a doubleheader Saturday, Clemson at North Carolina. Mike just mentioned the whole Belichick thing. And then that's followed by Texas at Florida. That's all this Saturday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Day-Day is doing all the things today. He's our behind-the-glass guy and, of course, executive producer as well. Stay tuned. Coming up in the 4 o'clock, or should I say the 3 o'clock hour, top of the hour, we will let you hear more about what's going on around the NFL, including what Mac Jones had to say about being the starter. He was asked that question last night after the win. I thought he handled it perfectly.
Right.
That is on the way, but Day-Day, let's get to the Daily Download.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail.
Mike, what do you think about David Ross, who says he's interested in managing the Braves?
I know there's a connection there, so I think some fans will be happy with it. I mean, it's not like he's been hanging around recently. So if you're looking for some kind of disconnect there, as a player with the Braves between 2009 and 2012, I thought, what do you think of his legacy as a Cubs manager? I
mean, go ahead.
I thought, you know, pretty darn good.
Yes.
As a player won a World Series, Joe Maddon was the skipper back then. I think that some of the talent kind of aged out, and, you know, they didn't replenish perhaps as best they should. But did you see enough as a manager from his 3 years, 4 years in Chicago to say that's our guy?
Yeah, and look, this is a broad brush, all right, we're painting with when you talk about potential candidates. You're the Atlanta Braves. You don't have to settle. And there are going to be numerous guys who even we're not even talking about, or maybe we not even, have not even mentioned, that are going to be interested behind the scenes about this particular job. Because, again, when you're Snit and you're winning the way he has, Mike, people just go, he'll be there until he quits or whatever. And then it happens, and you go, wait a minute. Look at the team. Look how talented they are. Yeah, they need some pieces, but that is an attractive job.
Skip Schumacher's name keeps coming up, but there's no connection to Skip Schumacher to the Braves organization, which now, again, they surprised the heck out of me, and I think a lot of Braves fans say, pretty cool. Let's change it up, get a fresh approach. But you got Mark DeRosa has been mentioned. I think some Braves fans would really love that. Walt Weiss would probably be the most uncompelling hire in the minds of a lot of Braves fans. But if you follow, if past is prologue, if your Tookus is sitting next to the skipper's Tookus, you generally get the gig.
Yep.
You know, and that's generally how it's been in time immemorial the last, you know, 30 years for this franchise. So we'll see how it goes. Then there's some long shots out there. There's been college coaches mentioned. So I'm not so sure about that. But yeah, David Ross, he, by the way, if you go back and look at it, it was a 2020 season. They did finish first place in the Cubs. Cubs did, I should say, in the NL Central, lost to Miami in the NL wild card. And then after that, it was fourth, third, second, and then he got the gate.
Here's Brian Snicker today on the Steakhouse. Full interview's coming up a little bit later on the show, guys. But here's him talking about the decision-making process of retiring. Yeah, and I get that from Brian Snicker. More on that and more on his comments about what he said on the Steakhouse, Mike. But, you know, it's interesting as he talks about contemplating these decisions. And I don't think it came easy. I just think, eventually, Mike, you know that thing where you go, I'll sleep on it, and you wake up the next morning, I don't know if this ever happened to you, and you go, that's it. Like, it's in your head. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't faded. I think that's what he's talking about.
All right. I mean, I just know that you know, Braves fans, they want a guy that comes in here. If I'm a Braves fan, I want some guys want. I don't care about continuity.
Okay.
I don't care about any of what? Yes, there's been success here. I would like a new, fresh approach. You know, with everybody. Yes, that would mean new assistants, new pitching coaches, new hitting instructors, the whole shebang. And curious to see if they would they go in that direction. How many of the staff would be retained, for instance? You think that's and guys brought up the question yesterday with Snicker having the sort of the consultant role. You know, what is his input? I heard Steak and Sander talk about that.
That's fair.
If you have him around for his input, you take his input. And what is he thinking? How much weight does that carry?
Mike, that's a very good point. Because what if, hypothetically, the front office really likes a candidate who doesn't have a connection with the Braves? And you ask Snit, and I don't know what he would say, if he knows the guy or if he has any, you know, thought about it. But then what if he's opposite? And how much weight does that carry? It's a great point. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to play this for you because we have a connection with Max Fried, who is now a Yankee. Yankees have moved on. They got an incredible start last night from a kid, 24-year-old kid named Cam Slettler. And this kid went eight innings, zero runs, 12 strikeouts. He was incredible against a team in which he grew up watching in the Boston Red Sox. But Fried was talking about what he learned in the 2021 season. Listen to this. Yeah, and he said that was the thing he learned in the 2021 Braves World Series team. We'll see what happens. Playoff set now. Wild card round is done. Cubs move on. Look, if you're MLB, you're happy. Yankees, yeah. Cubs.
A couple of things, man. The Padres, they felt the umpiring was just horrible. Bogaerts gets punched out at the end of the game. And so as the umps, because it's if you've ever been to Wrigley, it's a tight squeeze, even though they redid the clubhouses. But the umps have to go into the visitors' clubhouse. And so they had to get held back. I think there'll be some suspensions. Some guys are going to get fined some big money because they were trying to throw hands on the umpires.
They were.
There's a camera angle from a fan. So and I love it because that's was it Schilt is the manager that – he's the guy that threw after Ronald Acuna. In 2019, that was the Cardinals manager who then made his way to San Diego. So that was kind of fun. I guess Aaron Boone lives to manage another day because a lot of folks were kind of blown away by, you know, how poorly, you know, he handled or mishandled Max Fried. But you mentioned it. And the New York, if you didn't see it, New York Post had a great headline. You mentioned, you had to be careful. Schlittler. And it says, Holy Schlitt, yeah, on the back page of the New York Post.
It's great. That is great.
Day-Day, that's a tabloid.
That's great.
That's a fun newspaper.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Let's get to story number two. It's Kirby Smart and the Dogs taking on Kentucky. He says Kentucky is always a tough game for them. Here's Kirby. No slow starts.
All right. Now, again, I have this love-hate relationship betting on Georgia. We'll get to our pick segment coming up next hour. But Kirby, man, 9-22-1 against the spread. That's all teams since the start of the 2023. Since 2022, 0-15-1 as double-digit favorites. 19.5 right now is down from 20.
Woo! This hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. Let's get to story number three. It's last night, guys. Mac Jones. Who?
Mac Jones.
Christian McCaffrey went off, and believe it or not, the 49ers, who Mike and I talked about it, 8.5-point dog, right? They were a dog going into this game. How they won this game, obviously the Rams blew it at the end, but here he is connecting with McCaffrey.
Mac Jones is going to back out from under center. He puts McCaffrey
out in the slot to the left. Mac Jones throws. McCaffrey! He's got it. Touchdown. 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 49ers. 14-0 at that point, Mike. They would lose, obviously, the final stand where they get stopped 26-23.
Yeah, as I said, McVay's like, that's on me. That's a horrible play call. I blanked up. But yeah, the former Marist player. But Kyron Williams with the fumble going into the goal line, that would have won. At that point, by the way, the game was under and would have finished under. Of course, it does go over. You and I were debating that at times yesterday. It goes to 49. Was it 43.5? But yeah, the play calling and I got to give it to, Mac Jones. And you're not a fan of Brock Purdy, but I will say that Mac, and I think a lot of guys agree, Mac Jones is a guy that if you put him with Shanahan from the jump, is he now getting the same kind of contract or getting a shot at it? Because if you go back and look, remember, that's when Bill Belichick some people say that's where the worm turned. You had so much hubris. Oh, anybody can coach offense. You had Matt Patricia and the special teams coach, Joe Judge, running it. It was an unmitigated disaster. So basically, I guess some folks feel, and I saw it today on ESPN.
No, I feel this way, but that was the joke.
Orlovsky felt the same way. I mean, you were set up for failure, and now maybe he gets a chance. But if he had been drafted by San Fran, it could have been his thing.
It's not that I dislike Purdy. I just don't know what he does exceptionally well. And I've said this, and people take offense to that. You put Mac Jones in this system with this coach, it's amazing now how good he looks.
Right, and the argument was always, how does Bill Belichick not have a handle on Mac Jones when his best friend in the whole wide world is Nick Saban, drafts him from his team, and nothing goes right from Jump Street up there?
Because he left that to Matt Patricia
and Joe Judge.
Their own devices. He left that to you guys handle him. And it was a joke.
And then didn't like it when the quarterback, young quarterback, popped off. The media got it in Boston. That's all she wrote.
Big win last night. By the way, you guys realize this too. 49ers 3-0 in that division. That's a huge jump. Kind of sounds like the Falcons last year, Mike, when we got out to that great start. But they have been injured. We'll see if they get everybody back. More football talk coming up. Straight ahead, guys. We will start to break down some of the games that we'll be looking forward to on Sunday. Stay right there. 4th-and-1's on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.